Well, thank you very much for coming. Today I'm going to talk about a project that I did when I got to work with Dr. Fulcher, developing an online extension program for Tennessee nursery producers. So everybody's familiar with the key goals of the Cooperative Extension Service. It's basically, developing education programs for non-traditional students, so the people that need it, the actual growers and the farmers. And so traditional extension programs are basically live face-to-face meetings where you go and you meet at a central location, or they come to your location and you give presentations, demonstrations, and things like that. And there's been a long history of success with programs like that, but it was also the only available method in the past. And so now we have a lot more available tools to us that we can use to enhance these programs. So the current challenges with the traditional extension programs are demands on growers' times, especially with nursery growers. A lot of times it's not practical for them to meet during certain seasons. With people that are in the foliage industry or greenhouse industry, sometimes Mother's Day is the most busiest time of the year. So with the 2 months leading up to that, they wouldn't be available to come to any kind of program. A tree grower would have a different set of circumstances where they would be unavailable at certain times of the year. So just depending on what they're growing, they're going to have different times of the year where they can participate in these types of programs. So these multifaceted programs that you cover a lot of different areas, you're not going to reach your whole intended audience because growers aren't going to be able to come at certain times of the year. And then there's also the cost for the growers, the travel, the lodging, loss in production time, and then also the cost for extension personnel with those same considerations. Then there's a lot of demands on faculty, staff, and time just going to the different meetings and traveling. And then also a lot of people are experiencing decreasing extension budgets, so it's becoming more and more difficult to find funding to fund these types of programs. And so broadband internet use continues to increase even in rural communities where a lot of these farmers and growers are located, and over 70% of Americans now have high-speed internet access in their homes, and then an additional 10% have the internet on a mobile device. So online educational programs are becoming more and more popular. A lot of different universities and different institutions have a lot of different online extension programs, whether it be just actually like a class or just different materials and stuff that they develop that growers and non-traditional students can access online and take part and learn about the things that they need for their own businesses. So there's two different types of ways that they can do this, or that you can have an online program. There's synchronous and then asynchronous. So synchronous programs are basically live webinars in real time. So it will be like someone just giving a presentation, but it's broadcasted online. Offer real-time communication with the instructor, so a lot of times that there's two-way communication where the people actually watching the webinar at the end, they could ask questions. There's less infrastructure, planning, and program maintenance involved with those types of programs. Basically, you just have to have someone that's giving the presentation. They can be recorded, and then people can have an address to come in and log on and view that webinar. They still require ongoing time and commitment from the faculty and staff. And a lot of times, these programs that are delivered online, they were basically delivered for in-person audiences. So a lot of times, they're not optimized for web delivery. Okay, so then asynchronous programs, it's developed content available on demand. So it's developed before the fact, and then people can view that on demand. So they require a lot more planning, greater time commitment up front, and then also maintenance. And I'll talk about some of the time commitment that we had developing the Tennessee Master Nursery Producer Program. It reduces instructor time in the long run, because once that material is developed, it would just need to be updated periodically, but it can be housed and stay there for an extended period of time. And then the participants can view those materials at any time, whereas with a live webinar, they might could only view that material during the day. But here with the asynchronous programs, someone could go and review it, late in the evening or early in the morning, whenever it's most convenient for them. And so by giving all these advantages, there's a potential to reach a larger audience because there's a lot more flexibility with how the participants can view the material. And it also serves as a semi-permanent resource. So the University of Tennessee Master Nursery Producer Program is a partnership with the USDA and also Tennessee State University. And it was created out of grower interest for a comprehensive educational series. And so the people that go through this program and they pass the program, they're certified as Tennessee Master Nursery Producers. And when they get that certification, they're qualified for a 50% cost share through the Tennessee Agriculture Enhancement Program, or TAEP. And so basically when they certified and they as the Master Nursery Producer programs through this TAEP program, certain things that they buy for their farm or their facility, they can get a 50% cost share through that program. So there is great incentive for them to take part and become Master Nursery Producers. And it was first designed as a traditional program in 2012, and then I got involved in I helped Dr. Fulcher, and we created the online version. So the need for asynchronous programs, it eliminates participant travel. And so since it's developed, it's developed off-site and you don't have to go to the actual location and present the material, out-of-state experts may have more opportunities to participate. If you had someone that was an expert in substrates, they could possibly participate and develop the program and give it to you, and you could edit it and make it suitable for online delivery, whereas they might not be able to travel and give that presentation in person. And so it allows growers outside of a central nursery region to attend. So a lot of the different states have certain regions of their state where a lot of the growers are concentrated at, and maybe someone that's located outside of that area, they will be able to participate more with the asynchronous programs. And it increases the availability and information of programs throughout the state. So the development process for the Tennessee Master Nursery Producer Program, it was basically comprised of a committee, a project coordinator, a curriculum developer, narrators, and an IT specialist. So the project coordinator was on the committee, and then the project coordinator worked with the IT specialist, the curriculum developer, and then the narrators to get everything together, organized, and developed for online delivery. So the committee and the project coordinator, they worked to procure the funding to actually start this program, and then they also determined the course materials, what actually needed to be covered and taught in this class. The detailed outline of the course content was developed by the project coordinator, so she took the big ideas from the committee and developed a detailed outline of all that could be used to do the content development, which was done by the curriculum developer. Then the script recording was done by narrators, and then to actually get everything posted and published online, there was an IT specialist, and then the project coordinator also helped with that process. And then there was editing all throughout this entire thing done by the project coordinator and then the IT specialist, or whatever part of the program was being developed. There were people that were editing it, fine-tuning it, and et cetera. So the content development process, so basically we had these different modules with different subjects, and it all started with a literature review. So that was basically going through peer-reviewed journal articles, extension publications, books, trade press, and et cetera, and getting all that information together and organized. And then a PowerPoint outline was developed using that, using the different things that were found in the literature review. And then after that, we went through a big database full of images and found those images that we would think to use for that particular subject matter to insert into the PowerPoint presentation. And then after that, the script was developed, which was actually what the narrator would read when it was it came time to record the narration. And then at the end, the very last part was a quiz that the students would have to pass so that they could go on to the next module and complete the program. So the major categories for the Tennessee Master Nursery Producer Program were container production, and that was broken into 4 1-hour modules, and then field production, 3 modules, and then plant nutrition, fertilizer use, irrigation management, pest management, which took up 5 modules, pruning, propagation, economics, and marketing. So the number of modules that were for each subject matter was basically just depending on how much material needed to be covered for that subject matter, and then we tried to break it down so that none of the modules lasted over an hour. And so we wanted to keep it right around that hour mark. So this is the PowerPoint development. So this is just the bare bones. This is the very first part of the development process after the literature review had been completed. And so It was just basically a bare bones PowerPoint presentation, and it was used as the I guess the base. And so it started like this with the different things in bold, and then the things that we wanted to cover in each of the slides. And then for each of those PowerPoints, well, we went through the image database, found images that we could possibly use in all these slides, organized all those, and titled them for whichever slide they needed to go on. So we had all the images in a file. And then those images were inserted to the PowerPoint. So then the PowerPoint was basically completed at that stage. And then the script and quiz, they were done in Microsoft Word. And so basically it was just had the name of the slide number on it, and then the text. And we tried to keep that text minimal for each slide so that when the narrator read it at a comfortable rate of speed, that it would just take up about a minute or less per slide. And then the quiz is over on the other side. So the formatting and fine-tuning, the final versions were created using Moodle, which is a free source web-based platform, a learning environment, and then Articulate Presenter, which that's a pay-for software program. And then the narration files were created with Audacity, which is another free source, open source program, and they were imported into the Articulate Presenter after the narration files were completed. So this is the final module that you'll see, and so this is what the final product looks like, and that's what the students will actually view. And the narration files, the narration was actually down at the bottom, and so that's what the actual narrator read. Those were copied and pasted from those Word documents into the bottom of those PowerPoint slides. So this is the part that was really interesting about this project is that everybody participated in the project actually kept a log of the time that they spent on the different activities so we could break it down and analyze it. So this is the time needed to develop the initial PowerPoint script and the script for the Tennessee Master Nursery Producer Program. So this is, you can see the different subcategories for all the different things we had, the container production, field production, et cetera, and then how those were broken down into the different modules. The research and content development, that took up the most amount of time of just about anything. And basically, I was the one doing the research and content development for a lot of this, or at least the initial part of it. And so the time that it took for those basically depended on my experience and those different subject matters. So if you had someone developing content, they would be able to develop, of course, subjects that they were more familiar with a lot more quickly and something that they didn't know anything about. Then the PowerPoint development, to actually do the PowerPoint, it took about 8 to 10 hours per PowerPoint, and the image organization was about 6 to 8 hours regardless of subject matter. Script and quiz development, those took about 10 to 12 hours or more for each of those, and that was pretty consistent across the board. And then the total time per module, it was basically about a week for each module, or a little bit more considering the editing time and the fine tuning and everything. So then after we had those slides, we actually converted it into the Moodle module that was going to actually be developed online. So we took those and we did editing. We edited all the images so they were the same size and et cetera, so that it could be actually published online. So this is the time that we spent just doing that and fine tuning, fixing corrections and things like that. And that was a total of about 500 hours just to do that part. So that was a pretty intensive process also. This is just the breakdown. This is the content development breakdown. So this is the combined time of those first two tables that I showed. And you can just kind of see where we spent a lot or most of the time. And it was the PowerPoint development, the research and content development, script and quiz, and then the narration. That took up probably the bulk of the amount of time, and that includes actually the initial development of that, plus going back and editing all that material, which took up a really significant amount of time. And then this is the web development process, and this was all done by the IT specialist and the project coordinator. And so the biggest amount of time that was taken up with this part of the process was the audio review and the development, going back through narrating those files and then getting them, editing the narration files, the audio files, and getting them ready for web development. And then fine-tuning, that took up almost 20% of the time, and that's just going back through and correcting areas that where mistakes had been made or where things could just be improved a little bit. So that's some of the time that you might not plan on initially, but that took up about a fifth of the amount of time for web development, was just fine-tuning and making it as good as possible. So in conclusion, the cost of developing these programs is going to be highly dependent on the infrastructure at an institution. So just the IT services available at a different university or institution, the different licenses, the software licenses that university has, and then the web server and capabilities, all that's going to have a big impact on the actual cost and whether the university or the institution can actually handle those costs or provide some of those services for free without having to pay for it. The Articulate Presenter, that's about $800 for that software. Microsoft Office, about $150 to $200. But then a lot of times there's discounts, educational discounts that you can get. And then Adobe Fireworks, which was used to edit a lot of the images, that's about $35 a month. The open source software that we use, the Moodle and the Audacity, kept the cost lowest as far as the software costs go. And the personnel was the highest overall cost. The most of the time was spent on the content development and actually the web publishing. So that took up the most amount of time. So however many people that are on salary that are working on this, or how many people you have to pay hourly that you're getting to come in, that's going to have a big impact on the overall cost of developing a program like this. So just final considerations, live presentations, a lot of times they're not going to be suitable for web publishing. Sometimes people would send over a presentation and it would be a very good presentation, but then a lot of times you would need somebody in there actually presenting the material in person for some of the slides or the images and things like that to make sense. So those require a lot of editing that I hadn't planned on, that I didn't realize that. And it's important to clearly define roles and have each person that's working in a development process to have something that they're in charge of and that they can do. And then set a weekly completion schedule that keeps everybody honest and keeps everybody focused on the goal. And then finalize the format during the development process so that everybody's on the same page and that you don't get people sending PowerPoints that are formatted completely differently, because going back through and reformatting those takes up a lot of time. And then one thing that it really surprised me was how much time image issues took. The image issues were really time-consuming, and that's just because people would send in presentations that a lot of times those presentations either had images that were borrowed from online sources or they didn't really know whose images it was, so we had to track down to ask for permission to use these to publish them online, or we had to go back through and find an image that was real suitable for online publishing. So that took up a significant amount of time that I hadn't planned on. And that's the end of my presentation. If anybody has any questions, I'd be more than happy to answer them. Yes? It is University of Tennessee server, isn't it? Yeah, University of Tennessee server. Any other questions? Yes.
Do you charge the nursery industry to get the class?
Yes, they are charged, and I think it's $125 a person to take it. No? Yes, sir. It's just mostly for desktop applications. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.